Well, this morning's kind of a launching out for about really probably the next 5 or 6 years of stuff. You know, it just continually amazes me to look and see the hand of Jesus in touching people's lives and changing people's lives. You know, I'm sitting here with Maddox right in front of me, you know, how it's kind of crazy that how here's a guy some number of years ago, here he was a drug dealer on his way to jail.
I didn't deal, I used.
Oh.
He wasn't getting money out of the
situation.
I didn't
keep money around.
Sorry to disappoint you.
I was a consumer.
Anyway, he's on his way to jail for his consumerism. And God touches him and changes him. You know, or, you know, like Wheeler, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, he's not here so we can pick on him. You know, he's up in D.C., but, you know, here's a guy that when I had a walking across the campus of Radford one time, and he said, this guy didn't know Jesus at all. And he says, I know there's a God. I go, really? How do you know that? He says, if God can change Daniel Wheeler, he can change anything. There's a God. And, you know, and the cool thing, not too long ago, you heard the testimony of Daniel's dad come in this place. Washington, D.C.'s cop, hardened, and see God touch his life and change him. Now he's just crazy, radically saved. Changed. Only God can do that kind of stuff. And that is what we're all about. And the whole thing is about growing into the likeness of Jesus. And there's some things I want to share about that from a standpoint of, like, where we're going. Like, for example, Daniel and I are getting ready to get on a plane on the 6th and head to Croatia. Well, we know where we're going. We know Pastor Shishko sent the itinerary to me, and we know that we're flying into Zagreb, and we know that we're supposed to be in Dubrovnik. Now, to go from Zagreb to Dubrovnik, you don't want to drive there because you have to go through a lot of crazy places like Bosnia, over the mountains and some crazy places to it. So the best to go is fly. So we know the destinations, we know where we're going, we know how we have to make arrangements to get there. Well, you know, so many times in life we get distracted from the main thing, and the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. Only he's not a thing, he's a person. But the whole goal is for the reality of him to affect the reality of us. The only reason why we would ever not grow is because we would lose focus of the reality of who he is. So today, what I want to do is provide kind of an overview of where we're going. Like when Pastor Shishko sent me an email telling me where I was going to preach, what I want to do is just present a basic overview of where we're going. At the end of March, probably, we've set a goal that we're launching into an initiative that where we want to provide an atmosphere of growth for every one of you in this body. And so some of the things that I'm speaking today will bring a foundation for that. So with that said, let me just talk about it. What does it look like? In fact, today I really want to ask you this. What does it look like for you and I to grow into the likeness of Jesus? You know, how long ago did you get saved? Almost 30 years ago? 30 years ago. You know, people who knew Robbie knew Rick back in the day. In fact, one time I'm sitting in a barber chair, and this lady says, who are you? First off, he got talking about me, and that she understood that I was a pastor. And then she says, what's your name? And this was when I was in Okeechobee one time visiting. And she goes, my name's Rick Sizemore. She goes, no way. You're a devil. And so to see before and after and go, what does it look like for Rick Sizemore? What does it look like for Robbie Maddox to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus? Well, here's the thing, though. It's not so important about what we look like, but what's really important is what does he look like? and that we have a solid vision and in our hearts of what it looks like to grow into the likeness of Jesus. And that's where you pray. The prayer was this morning, Lord, let there not be tradition. Let me not speak anything but the clarity of the reality of who you are. Because if you and I can get him fixed in our hearts, in fact, I'm just speaking ahead. Let's go on. Look at this. Oh, yeah, if anybody doesn't have a handout, raise your hand, please. And Mitchie Poo will get them to you. Here you go, Ron, I'll let you have half of mine. So, with that said, let's go to the next slide, please. Now, catch this. The first thing I want to catch is individually, the reality is seeing him, creating a vision or a hope within us. Where there's no vision, people cast off restraint, out of Proverbs 26. So if you and I can catch a clear vision of Jesus, seeing him, not getting distracted from him, we will not cast off restraint. And so catch this verse. You've heard it many times before, but let it sink in. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet appeared as what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because why? Why will we be like him? Because you see him what? As he is. You've heard me say this before. Why are you not like him now? Because there's areas in your heart that is not seeing him as he is. Now you go, well, Rick, you know, this passage of scripture is talking about when Jesus comes. There is truth in that. But the next phrase brings it into now. He who, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him, notice what it does. It purifies himself just as he himself is pure. So if you and I can so much fix our hope on Jesus, like Romans 12:2 says, seeing, you know, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our what? Faith. Fixing our eyes on him. The only time Peter started to sink is when he took his eyes off Jesus and the word that he said and focused it on the wind and the waves. You know, Satan is trying to bring wind and waves in your life to distract your ability to see Jesus. Amen. And so our heart is to not let these things to distract us and fix it on him. Because, y'all, you cannot help but see him to not become like him. I remember my cousin and his wife were having serious marital issues. They had gone to a football game, and he had accused her of looking at another man, and jealousy was just tearing their relationship apart. And in fact, the reality is they needed Jesus. So anyway, Libby goes, well, Earl, I just think we need to just pray about it. And Earl goes, well, yeah, okay, it sounds like the religious thing to do. Yeah, sounds good. So they knelt down beside the bed, and they were holding hands. And Libby starts to pray, and she goes, Lord, Earl don't believe me, but we need you. I just need you to touch Earl and give him the reality of you. Now, they're standing here on the side of the bed like this, holding hands, and Earl's over here, and this is Libby. And all of a sudden, Earl says, on this shoulder, all of a sudden, he feels a hand go, poof. And Earl opens his eyes just enough to go, wait a minute, Libby's hand's here. This shoulder's got a hand on it. And all of a sudden, when this hand hit him, it just went straight from here to here. Earl was transformed. Come on. Reality of Jesus hit his heart. Changed forever. If you knew Earl Mumpower, you know a man who just hardcore loves Jesus. He's the kind of guy that would... One time he walked into a hospital to go visit somebody who was dying of leukemia, and when he walked out, the person with leukemia was checking out of the hospital the next morning. That's Earl. Because the reality of Jesus became hardcore in Earl's life. So the statement says, the vision and hope of Jesus empowers us to grow into his image and likeness. Go to the next slide, please. And so that's why that literally we want to set as a goal. Really, it's all about Jesus. And the reality is, the goal is that every one of us to grow into his likeness. And notice this statement here. is that, whoops, what did I, away, keep going back toward the front, please. Somehow I got way down here. So how did I get here? Yeah, no, wait a minute. You were good. Go to the next slide. I'm getting too excited about this thing. Let me just go on, because I figure, when you figure out where I'm at, because I don't know where I'm at, so I'm just going to speak where I'm at. So, where I think I'm at, how about that? Because our destiny is to grow into the very image and likeness of Jesus, Romans 8:29. We have been predestined to be conformed to the image of him. In Ephesians 4:15, that we may grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. I mean, we look at Liam, and I just say, and my heart is for Liam. In Liam, he grows up in totality of every aspect of who Jesus is for Liam. Now, the Jesus in Liam is going to look different than the Jesus in Rick. And the tough thing is for us to do is not make interpretations for other people how Jesus is going to look in their life for them. And so, but the whole hardcore thing is for me and my relationship with Liam to call him into that place. And whatever we have to do, any dealings that we have, that when I leave Liam, his heart goes closer to Jesus. And that's not just me, because I'm a, quote, pastor. That's true for every one of us in here, in this place. Ogni knows, Tony, that when I was, quote, doing grocery store business and just doing ministry on the side, having a youth Bible study in my home, I burned with a passion to see people just come into the likeness of Jesus. So it has nothing to do with, quote, ministers. This is a call for every one of us in this place. In fact, go to the next slide. I hope it's Colossians 1. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Our goal is to help everyone, both saved and unsaved, to come into the very likeness of Jesus. Notice this passage. We proclaim him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we, notice it's not I, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose, we labor and strive. I labor and strive. So I just want to ask this, the question God put on my heart. Now, please do not answer this. This is a rhetorical question. First off is, can you receive individually that the destiny for your life is to grow into the likeness of Jesus? That is your destiny. And to take ownership of that and not slough it off on somebody else. You remember a couple of weeks ago I preached about the guy who was sitting by the pool of Siloam waiting for somebody to pick him up and put him in the water. And when Jesus came to him and says, are you wanting to be healed? He says, nobody's there to pick me up. Well, y'all, your growth into the likeness of Jesus cannot be sloughed off on somebody else. You and I, you have to own it. I remember one time God spoke to me. This is when I was in Okeechobee, way back, just 21 or 22 years old. God said to me, says, when you're standing before me, why are you going to say you believed what you believed? And the first thought of mine, God says, you cannot say Pastor Whipple, that's the name of our pastor at the time, told me that. You're going to be standing based on me. What you believe is yours. And so you and I have to take ownership in our life individually. Are you going to take ownership for it? That's your destiny, to grow into the likeness of Jesus. And everything that you are and everything that you do, the totality of who he is. But here's another thing that's about this passage of scripture. That we may present every man complete in Christ. And the Lord spoke to me. The call of dwelling place is, the responsibility on dwelling place is a part of the people in the New River Valley. You have a responsibility to present complete in Christ, both saved and unsaved. There's people out there walking around right now that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And guess what? Their destiny is to look like Jesus. Praise God for a judge who knew Jesus, looked at Robbie, and prophesied, quote, I'm going to just go out there, you need help to fulfill a destiny. And he sent him to Dunklin. And destiny starts to unfold. How do you know that some person out there that you see in a grocery store, random, quote, random, Your interaction with them unfolds in them the destiny to coming into the likeness of Jesus. And God's call is, will we take, don't answer this, because this has a cost to it. Will we take ownership for our place in the New River Valley and not get distracted from it? Do we start playing church, or do we burn with a passion, both people inside the body and outside the body, to present them into the likeness of Jesus? Let me tell you something, y'all. Every one of us in here know what it's like, that life can be super busy. I've got three businesses in three different states and ministry and here and there, and husband, a grandfather, we're grandfather and grandparent and kids this weekend. And y'all, it is so easy to let the distractions of this world to cloud out the destinies that are on me and you. You know, I'm no different than any of you. But we cannot be distracted from it, because there's a call. The joy, I'm going to just say the joy of it. You know, since I'm picking on Robbie Ogney, you know, first time I saw her, I called her Nina Modine. Didn't I call you Nina Modine? I don't even know who Nina Modine is. You do. But to see God, her get saved on a youth night in First Baptist Church in Okeechobee and see her transformed into the likeness of Jesus, Paula and I walked that journey. I cannot tell you, the rewards on that are just hard. I mean, just causes your heart to go nuts. In a good way, that is. I've had that happen a lot lately. Causes your heart to go into rhythm. Nice. I mean, I go around the room, and every one of you, I pray that you have that joy. If you have not had the joy of leading somebody to Jesus and then walking with them and to grow into the likeness of Jesus, you have never lived. You have not lived. That is life. That is life. To walk in that place, spending time with a man a period of time ago who most of you do not know, not in this church, but see him, a quote from the outside, a good man, but seeing where there's frustrations in his wife, spend a night with him out in the woods, just speaking Jesus, who Jesus is, y'all, not telling him what he needed to do in his marriage relationship, but speaking into him to the reality of who Jesus is, and watch God change the man's heart. I texted him this morning before church, said, how's it going, bro? And he's talking about how awesome it is and what God's doing in his relationship with his wife. That is Jesus. All he did was catch a vision of who Jesus is. So that's where we want to go. But what I want you to understand, there's some obstacles in how and why we may be in the places that we are now. And I just want to do a real quick review of some things. Let's go to the next slide, please. See, in Genesis chapter 1, 26, we see that God created us in his own image and his own likeness. That's how we were created, to reflect the very essence of who God is, both spirit, soul, and body. You're made three parts. It's important for you to catch that. You have three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is how you touch God, how you communicate in the spiritual realm. Your soul is who you are. That's the essence of who you are. That is your existence. And you have a body, the flesh. That's how you touch the world. So the question is, are you going to touch the world? Are you going to draw from the world? Or are you going to draw from heaven, which is the spiritual realm? That's why God gave you a spirit, to interact with him. But a spirit has to be interacted in freedom, in love. And so to go there. But so when God created us, he created man in his image and his likeness. But then, notice in Romans 5:12, it says, by one man, go to the next slide, please. For by one man sin entered into the world, therefore death spread to all men. So death and sin and death spread to all men. Yo, I remember the night my mom's dying in the hospital, and I'm holding her hand, and I'm grieved by seeing her suffer. And I hear God speak to me so loud. He says, I know how you feel, and for the same reason The same way and the same reason you're sitting here watching your mom suffer, I had to sit there and watch my son suffer on the cross. And he says, because of sin. Not that because my mom sinned, but because sin entered into the world and therefore death, what? Spread to all men. So sin and death entered in the world and it affected every one of our lives. It cut us off from the realities of who God is in every facet of our existence. Let me show you an example. Let's go to the next passage. In next slide, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it shows you this characteristic. You were dead in your sins and your trespasses, which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. I remember when it was funny. We were at Radford University, and we had a parents' weekend. And Tulio had just come into our ministry. He kind of got forced into our Jesus. He came into our meeting, and somebody prophesied over him, and God chased him down. That's a whole other story. But I never forget. We're in this parents' weekend. We're in this room full of parents who come there, and they're seeing their kids excited for Jesus. And a lot of them, I mean, Daniel Wheeler stands up and he goes, I'm the guy you didn't want any of your daughters to date. But God changed my life, and little did he know that his future in-laws were in that room that day. But I'll never forget Tulio's dad. He was so suspicious that we were some kind of cult. And in fact, we had a party the night before. I mean, the Holy Ghost Jesus party. We put big speakers in the apartment windows, and we had Jesus music dancing. People were just dancing in Jesus. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it's a crazy scene, parents coming in. Tulio's dad comes in, and he goes, he's looking all over the house for the drugs. Wasn't he? I mean, he was so upset. What's going on? There's a cult. They got these kids drugged. We did have them drugged on Jesus. And so anyway, I'll never forget, he stood up at that meeting all full of parents. I want to know this. I can't remember the exact words, but I remember this. Not long ago, he's in jail. He wasn't in jail, but he was at the police station because we're in a bar, standing on a table.
No, he thought I was standing on a table. I busted my head open.
He busted his head open in a bar. How is it that he's here and now he's here? How? Jesus. I mean, dude, transformation, because Tulio walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power there, but now the spirit that now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we all too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires, the lust, literally, or the will of the flesh and of the mind. I love this. I don't love it, but it's a red statement. We were by nature, what? Children of wrath, even as the rest. In other words, we had a nature of being screwed up. But now we can say, but God. Go to the next slide. I love this. We're born again. And as soon as you and I are born again, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As John 3 says, we're born of the water and of the Spirit. Your spirit is made new. It's connected with God. It hooks up. It's made new. It is in you. You have a spirit. It's new. It's in the image. Notice what it says. According to the put on the new self, and anytime you see new self in Scripture, it's referring to your spirit. Putting on the new self or new man who is being renewed according to the true knowledge, according to the image of him who created it. Your spirit made new. And I could show you other past scripture about that. That's what happens when you're born again. You're born of the water. It says, if any man is in Christ, he's a what? New creation. That's talking about your spirit. But also, you got to realize this. Go to the next slide. In 1 Corinthians 15:49, your physical body. Okay, now let me just pause here. You remember, in the beginning, God created us in his image and likeness. Sin entered in and affected body, soul, and spirit. Affected us in our physical bodies that, why, I don't look like I do now that as I did 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. I don't look like that. First time I realized I was getting old is when I was on a basketball court. I'm running down court with on a fast break, and my mind is thinking at one speed, and my body is at another. My mind goes, pass it. Boy, yeah. You know. It was so weird. I thought it was a movie. Yeah. So I don't know. But anyway, so sin enters, affects our physical body. It affects our spirit. It kills us when we're dead in trespasses. Death means to separate. We're separated from God. Our spirit's dead. Doesn't mean cease to exist. It's separated from God. No connection with God. Our soul has an effect, and we'll look at that here in a second. But when it talks about here, your physical body, and I wish I could say this true, when you accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, your physical body doesn't get instantly changed. This passage tells us we have borne the image of the earthy. That's Adam. We will bear the image of the heavenly. This is in the context of the physical body. Talks about your bodies being changed on the day of the redemption. Now, there's a whole other rabbit about chasing, about healing and all that stuff right now, but we're not going to cover that rabbit right now. But I want you to catch the reality as sin's affected you. Somebody doesn't know Jesus spiritually, physically. But also, notice the next slide. In my soul, who I am, my mind, and my heart. And notice in this passage of Scripture here that Jesus, okay, when I accept Jesus, my spirit's born again. I'm connected with God. My physical body will be transformed in the image and likeness of Jesus. My spirit is instantly changed into the likeness of Jesus. But my soul is in process. Notice what it says here. We all, with an unveiled face, is beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Notice what it says. Are being transformed. Process. Your soul is in process. Got guys in a regen program. Okay? Now, they came into the program. They're in process. They didn't come into the program, and instantly, after day two, they're immediately transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Now they're ready to leave. Y'all up for that?
Some have thought that.
I could tell something on you, bro. I won't today. I don't forget where I was at. Well, so talking about Jesus. Oh, yeah. Being transformed. This whole process of being transformed into his likeness, going from glory to glory, that is where growth occurs. And I wish it was an instant fix. I sure do. I wish we could call up everybody and we're going to lay hands on you, and instantly your soul is taking on the totality of the likeness of Jesus. In fact, I want to show you some examples that God showed me of this process. Let's go to the next slide, please. One more time. I'm sorry. Okay, well, yeah. Somehow I lost the slide. Or is it? Go to the next one. Let me see if it's in there. Yeah, there it is. Go back one, please. Now watch this, y'all. What the process involves is your soul taking on, like a coat, the likeness of your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Notice this passage, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. And notice what it says, which is being corrupted in the lust of deceit, the old Rick, the old way I did stuff, lay it aside. And notice what it says here. That you be renewed, literally, by the spirit of your mind, put on the new self. Literally, putting on the new self by the renewing of my mind. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Taking on that my heart and my mind takes on the totality of who Jesus is. I don't think like Rick Sizemore. 40 years ago when we first got married. Praise God. Paula's saying that. Thank you, Jesus. Are you agreeing? Yeah, you sure you are. But here's this transformation that's occurred, is that there's facets of my life that have taken on the totality of the likeness of Jesus. And now, you know, praise God for the brothers and sisters in our lives that are around us that help us in this journey. Now, y'all, what does Jesus look like? I mean, that's what it's about. What does he look like? I remember Doug Levy and some other friends of his were over in Wendy's in Fairlawn one day when they came out of Eagle's Nest, and of a meeting all lit up on Jesus, and Doug's hair was a whole lot longer than Liam's, and it was froed like this, and he was hanging with a bunch of other crew that had that heavy metal Christian band, and they're in there, and there was a guy named Bobby Collins that hung around with him. Bobby was hardcore in love with Jesus, but he was a freak. Yeah. I mean, Bobby was a freak. You had to know. I mean, and a freak in a good way. So loving and so passionate. But he would just tell a stump about Jesus and hug the stump while he was doing it. I mean, he was so loving, compassionate. So they're sitting in this Wendy's, and all of a sudden, these guys over on the other side there, Doug and them hear him talking about Jesus or talking about church. And Doug goes, "Are y'all saved? Oh, praise God, man." And these guys looked at Doug, and they go, "You can't be saved." "Well, I am. I know Jesus." "Your hair's long. Being a Christian doesn't have hair like that." And I'm going, I wasn't there, but I mean, I'm going, dude, if there's anybody that's like Jesus, Bobby Collins is. You know? Because some people's definition of what Jesus looks like, and that's what I say right now, what does Jesus look like? Now, there's this past scripture I want to read, and hear this very carefully. And Anthony and I were talking about this yesterday, and it was really cool, and some stuff that Anthony is speaking. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Hear that. He will, and it goes on, talks about Holy Spirit, recall to remembrance. Later on in another chapter in John 16, he talks about how the Holy Spirit will take of Jesus and reveal it to us. The Father sending the Spirit to us in his name. So let me ask you. So is God in heaven? He says, "Okay, I'm sending in the name of Jesus. I send the Holy Spirit." Is that what God the Father did? No. What does it mean to send the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus? What does it mean that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst? What does that mean? When you heard me pray it earlier, and you've heard me say it before, but what does that mean? That means all the nature and character and what God's really adding and really showing me in this, the expressions of who Jesus is. That's what it means when you say, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." That means you're asking in all the totality of who Jesus is. Well, who is he? We got to go to his name. That's what God has called us into, the reality of him. And I really believe in the simplicity of it, where God's saying is it's three parts. The heart of who he is, the nature of who he is, and the expressions of who he is. Now think about this. You know, that's true for every one of us in this room. You have a nature, you have a heart and character, and you have expressions that come out of both of those two things. You know? You know, Mitchie Poo. Oh,
pick on that. Man, this is a good couple right here.
It's all you now.
Mitch. Mitch has a nature. There's a nature. There's a nature. Mitch is human. I mean, he has. he's a human. He's a human being here. We gotta watch this spirit of accusation here. You know, here. Kristen was born from Mitch, out of her, but together. She's human. She's not a dog. That's part of his nature. Mitch walks. Part of his nature is he has giftings in it, like he loves sports. And And, you know, there's different characteristics in Mitch's nature. But then Mitch has a heart, the character of who he is. And that's, and y'all know about Mitch's character and his heart. And Mitch is really what you see is what you get, which is really cool. I love him. And I know many of you, I know you do too in here too. But his nature. But then Mitch, what Mitch does, how he expresses comes out of his heart. Like, it'd be interesting, I don't know, show of hands, but how many people in this room have Mitch help move? Oh, Lord. Yeah, I mean, look at this. Because what he'll help him move? Or, you know, Paula one day goes, you know, Mitch has got so much going on in church. He's in the basement of some lady's house up to his knees in water, helping her with her house is flooded. The basement's flooded. Serve. You know, how many people, he probably knows every one of your names in this place. I barely know my wife's name. I mean, I never forget one time. I'm standing up one day in church, and I'm pointing to my secretary, and if you're interested in this particular thing, tell the secretary. And I forgot my secretary's name. What's your name? That was embarrassing. So, I mean, what you're doing, the expression, it's the same thing with Jesus. And so what we want to do is we're believing God for God to give us revelations of his heart, revelations of his nature, revelations of how he expresses himself. And I believe this, that when we see his heart becomes my heart. When we see the nature of who he is as the express image of the Father, it creates in me the same thing. Man. And the expressions of what he does. When I see what he does, I want to do what he does. And this, real quick, I just want to show you these things. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, you got to see my illustration, Joe. I spent hours doing this. So for me, humor me, okay? So notice this. This is first, BC. Were y'all impressed? Yeah. Okay, go to the next slide, please. See, notice. Okay, BC, then at salvation, notice your spirit eventually does not have the lines going across it. That means sin. I need to probably put a table of contents there. That's at salvation. Your spirit's made new. This is going to make you want to get saved to see this thing. Go to the next slide. Now watch this. The process, oh, see, yeah, I'm getting fancy here. Notice, hey. Hey.
Keep going.
See, soul taking on the identity of the spirit. You see that? Yeah. And then notice the next. This is the goal. Go to the next slide. Please be there. Ah, it is. And see, notice that your soul takes on the totality of who Jesus is. That is spiritual growth. All right.
Come on.
Amen. Now I can knock the invitation. Anybody want to get saved? Come up right now.
That's
it. No. All right, let's go to the next slide. Now here's another one. This took me hours to do. Now, I got to explain this.
That's all day right there.
It was, but
I just got wore out.
Let me explain what this is. This is supposed to be a diamond. With Jesus, there's three spheres with many facets. His heart, his nature, and the expressions. The center has got to do with the heart. You can't read those. the next level circle has got to do with his nature. And the next has got to do with his expressions. What's going to happen in the end of March or the 1st of April, depends on how this all shakes down, is that we're going to start into a journey together into the heart of who Jesus is. One particular part. It's got to do with faith. He's the author and finisher of faith. We'll spend 20 weeks on that. From here, also you'll have devotions every day that you can take and search out yourself. Our heart is that we'll have connection groups in some way, shape, or form for you to process the things that God's showing you in relationship to your faith. Our heart is to be intentional in helping you and I to grow into the likeness of Jesus, one particular facet at a time. And so go to the next slide. And so were these three particular spheres of Jesus, his heart, where you'll see the declaration in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, have this attitude or mindset, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to see how Jesus sees. Yeah, when you see what Jesus sees, it'll change you. You don't have to pray, God, break my heart for the lost. Break my heart for the wounded. All you have to do is pray that you see what Jesus sees. When you and I see what Jesus sees and how Jesus sees, with his heart, it changes us. And notice these particular facets of go to the next slide, please, that we'll go into. Jesus' character and heart is a heart to be Spirit-led, led of the Spirit. Wherever he goes, whatever he did was led, his motivation and discernment was what the Spirit of God was doing. The fruitful, and fruitful, y'all, is got to do with fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control. That is fruitful. Bearing fruit of ministry is not complete fruit. Jesus said in Matthew 7, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And right before that, he says, a tree will be known by its fruit. The most spiritual person in this church is Matthew Hubbard. Guy knows how to love. I mean, we just get phone calls, emails from Kathy, how Matthew was not even able to eat in the last few days before Sunday morning. I mean, I was kind of shocked when I seen him here this morning. I look up and here's Matthew. What is he doing? Running around this church. Guess what? Doing what? And I know he's not feeling good. And what is he doing? That's fruit. That's bearing fruit, y'all. Fullness. Jesus' heart is fullness, fullness of love, identity, acceptance, worth, intimacy, purpose, security, need to be needed. Fullness. His heart, you can in it, you can catch the heart of God in relationships. Y'all, you know how you grow in relationships? You know how I grow in my heart for my wife? I look at the heart of Jesus at the bridegroom. I stop trying to change how I loved her because you know what? I can't do it. I remember in our early day, Paula would take how-to marriage books and put it by my nightstand. Did it work, babe? She would read them to me. Did it work?
No.
No. But you know what does? I see the heart of Jesus for his bridegroom, us, and that will change me. How do I become the heart of, how do I take on the heart of a father? See the heart of God the Father. See the glory. It'll change you in the same image as from glory to glory. How do I become a brother? How do I have that? You know, six times Jesus refers to us. We're referred to as Jesus' brothers, / sister. How do I grow in relationship to you as brothers and sisters? See how Jesus responds to us. That's the whole revelation in the fullness of the Trinity. See, and I can grow in every relationship just by seeing him, receiving it, responding to it, laying aside, and entering into the script, practice it. Notice this, faith, the character of faith. I don't have time to go into that one. Mercy, grace, a heart of humility. That is the heart of Jesus. Now, y'all, that's easy to just say those words, but to see it in the revelation of his word, that where it'll have an effect in our lives, is hardcore. Go to the next slide. The second sphere of who Jesus is his nature. Notice this. Y'all catch this. Realize this. Y'all, this is cool to me. Mortal man can take on the nature of a deity. That is seriously cool. Look at that. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us literally to his glory and excellence. For by these he's granted to us his precious and magnificent what? Promises, in order that by them you and I may become partakers of the what? Divine nature. Too many times we try to escape the corruptions in the world by lust, but when you, guess what? You participate with the divine nature, guess what you do? You escape the corruption that's in the world by lust. Hallelujah. You cannot shovel enough crap out of your life to get right. When you start trying to shovel crap out, guess what? More crap comes in. How do I know I've done it? I can't do it. I generate more crap than... Sorry, but that's the reality. But the cool thing about the nature of Jesus, it is ours to participate with. One of my favorite books in seminary, I had to read a bunch of books in seminary, both the master's and when I started into the doctoral program, reading messes of books. But one book stuck in my head, a book called Fire on the Mountains. It's about the Ethiopian Christians in Ethiopia, how missionaries came into Ethiopia before World War II. They did not have the Bible, so they started translating the Word of God. Then all of a sudden, World War II broke out, and the missionaries had to leave, and the only thing they had was the Book of Mark translated. So the missionaries left, and they're just all grieved about, we're having to leave these people, these newborn Christians. How are they going to make it during the war, and how are they going to make it? And these people, they read the Book of Mark, and their belief was they is what Jesus was, they could be like. So guess what they just started doing? Healing the sick. They would come to a river that was overflowing, and they guess, Jesus walked on the water over it. So guess what they did? They walked on the water. I mean, because why? They started seeing Jesus who he is, and they just had it. They go, this is just normal Christianity. So guess what? We're going to do it. They started participate in his nature. What's his nature like? Go to the next slide. Catch this. His nature is creator. He's all powerful. His nature is eternal. He's ruler. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. Go to the next one, please. He's all-knowing, he's life, he's light, he's faithful. Y'all, he does not contain love, he is love. His character is not faithful, he is faithful. He does not just do good, he what? He is good. Because he is good, he can only give good things and do good things. He don't give people cancer because that ain't good. He's good. He's good. And all I have to do, that's his nature. That's his nature. And so when I see it, y'all, if we create an atmosphere that when people walk in this sanctuary, when we get together, all every one of us want to do is see Jesus in his heart, in his nature. You know what? We'll be messed up. I'm convinced of that. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know it. Next slide. How about the expressions? Because you cannot receive who he is, and you can't hold all this in that you don't want to express it. And that's what Jesus did. My food is to do the will of my Father. And notice, Cool thing is this. Truly I say to you, he believes in me. The works that I do, you shall do also. Not only this, greater works than you shall do because I go to the Father. Now, I don't have time to go into details about that, and I wish I did because that is one cool subject right there. That lights me up. That's how Jesus, that's the expression of Jesus. And he's saying, I express the heart of the Father. You're going to express it. Well, go to the next slide. How do we express it? The works of the Father, the Word of God, prayer, worship, praise, thanksgiving, fasting, manifestations of the gifts, his nature, gifts and ministries expressed in the heart of spiritual warfare. Y'all, casting out demons is not a show. It's the heart of the Father to see his kids set free. And so as you express ministry, gifts of the Spirit, prophesy over somebody, y'all, to care about prophesying, just this thrill of, yeah, man, it's really cool to walk up to somebody and read their mail. That's a manifestation of the Spirit. Every one of them you can all prophesy. I mean, last week, Jared picked a guy out that was visiting Sean and Molly. Y'all, I don't know if you remember last week. Picks a guy, there's Sean and Molly, who had been going through a lot of crazy stuff in his life and decided he needed to just come back to church. And Jared picks him out and prophesies exactly what was going on in the guy's life. That's cool. It was really cool. But you know what's really cool? That's the expression of God's heart to his son. I love you, son, enough to just pick you out among the whole place and say, I'm real. I see what's going on in your life. Because how many times, y'all, in the course of life, do things get going on and hit you so hard, you think that God doesn't see what's going on in your life? And that's why the expressions of Jesus come in, like, in the areas of manifestations and gifts and ministries, is to really help people to see through the smoke of this world. So anyway, that's where we're going. That's a journey. And Robbie got something to help us go there. Don't you, Robbie?
Yeah.
Let's set our hearts on loving him. Yeah, bro. Where's the mic?
Hey, Rob. Rob just had a word, and I just want him to share it.
Sure.
Thanks, Ben. So I had this, God was just touching my heart. Help me, Jesus. God's heart, you know, for every one of you, it's for life.
So that's his nature.
It's nature. You know, when we see things in this world, there's, you know, the world is against life. It's saturated with sin. We've, you know, lately I've been seeing you see stuff in social media coming against unborn babies. God's heart's for life. Okay. This church has stood with our family. We just adopted a beautiful baby. If you've been touched by adoption, you know, raise your hand. We've all been adopted. We're adopted into his kingdom. That's his heart. And I just want you to ask yourself what you're believing about your own adoption as a son and a daughter into his kingdom. And not all of you believe that you're in a place right now that you can adopt a child, you know, but if you have felt led that way, there's a lot that comes against you to try to stop that. And I just focus on what God says. I'm happy to share our story with you personally, but if you feel led, don't hesitate to step out, because it took us a while to get started, and then we saw God meet us every part of the way. So a lot of you here are part of that support, and I wanted to thank you, and just share that part of God's heart. You know, Jesus, I was sitting back there, and I was like, God, I think I'm supposed to share this, but just give me another word that I'm supposed to step out. And then Rick said, Jesus calls us brothers. He calls us sisters. We're all adopted. So it's a word for your heart. It's a word for where we are as a family of God in this nation. And I think we have a huge, huge response that we can make.
You need to tell them as a testimony, you just didn't adopt a child.
No.
Tell them about your daughter.
Yeah, so our daughter, we felt led to adopt, and we kind of drug our feet. And when we finally got started, we didn't have, we had raised some of our funds. We didn't feel like we were at a place that we were ready to launch. And our friend came to us and said, hey, you know, our cousin is, she's pregnant and looking to give her baby for adoption. And there was a high probability that she was going to be deaf. And we were, of course, praying that she would hear, but, you know, we're like, we prayed about it. We had some back and forth, like, we really think we're supposed to go with this. And our baby was born deaf. She's beautiful. We're learning a new language. But the way that God works behind all this, her birth mom was like, had I known sooner, I probably would have done an abortion. But that was kept hidden. It was kept hidden because of God's purpose. So.
That's cool. That's Jesus. God. Man. Speaking.
Receive it. I mean, what Rob said about being adopted. I mean, this is a phenomenal. Rob and Sarah have a phenomenal testimony, and he's sharing that. But there's a personal place for us to step into what Rob shared. We're all at the depth of us. We are a BC. That's where we're all standing. And I think some of us are just in a struggle when you talk about the nature and the character and the expression. We say that's good. That is good news, but is it my news?
Yeah.